Stand with me this morning. We're going to look in Proverbs. We're still in the book of Proverbs. We're going to be in chapter number 8 today. And just kind of a little heads up, I know there's a lot of chapters in the book of Proverbs. And some of y'all have been wondering when I said we're going to venture into the book of Proverbs, how long we're going to be there, because there's a lot of Proverbs. So we're probably going to be in there one more week. Next week, be chapter number 9. After that, we literally begin the actual Proverbs themselves. So my plan is, unless God changes it, we're going to finish up next week chapter number 9, and then we're going to venture on to somewhere else. Because I got a feeling if we try to take a proverb at a time, we're going to be here till the Lord comes back, whenever that is. So. And maybe it's time for us to venture into something else. So be in prayer about that, wherever God leads us. Got some ideas and some thoughts already of where we might go. Getting a little bit excited about that. But I just want to be, it's all His Word, right? You're not going wrong by being in His Word. But there's a place for us. there's a section for us, there's a passage for us or a story for us that we need to tap into. So be in prayer with me over the next couple weeks that we'll go where God wants us to go. All right, Proverbs chapter 8, we're going to look at the first six verses. Doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O you simple, understand wisdom, and you fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. Father, as we enter into another message in Proverbs about wisdom and about truth today, we pray that you really speak to us this morning. Help us to understand with the world that we're in today that is filled with lies, that we weed that out and we grab hold of what is true, what your truth is. God, I pray for your Spirit to speak to us, to guide us, to lead us. We ask your forgiveness of our sins, cleanse us from our unrighteousness, that we can receive your word today with clarity, God, that you'll speak to us and we'll take it into our hearts, God, that we'll not only believe it, but that we'll begin to act upon your word. Have your way in the remainder of this service for the glory of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You may be seated. Yeah, when we get done with chapter number 9, it finishes and kind of completes the speeches from a father to a son and from Lady Wisdom to the son as well. Basically, it's like a mother and a father both speaking to the son or to the children and giving them instructions on life. Then we get into the next chapters. It begins the actual Proverbs. So I thought it was interesting to touch on some of these speeches and listen, this is something we all need to hear, especially our young people. Entering into life, when you get out of high school and you start stepping out into the big world, the adult world, we need to hear these things. Go back and rehearse chapters 1 through 9 and see the instruction that God wants to give you to help you. And it will alleviate a lot of pain, a lot of suffering in your life if we'll listen to what God said. When we go back to the previous chapter, chapter number 7, it talked a lot about the strange woman. It talked about things that she offered. Now we're in chapter number 8, and we're seeing some things that Lady Wisdom is saying that she's offering. I want to run down just a quick comparison so that we can be enlightened about what Lady Wisdom offers and what she's all about compared to the strange woman and what she's all about. Lady Wisdom is speaking in the high places. She's speaking at the gates. She's speaking at the entry to the city. She's at the doors, and she is speaking truth. So right off the bat, we're seeing that Lady Wisdom is going to go out into the public places. She's going to be one that wants to be seen and wants to be heard and wants to be acknowledged. She's not ashamed and she's not hiding in the shadows. When we go back to chapter number 7, we find from the strange woman, she was in the corners, in the dark alleys. She was lying in wait and she was always speaking lies. The big difference in the thing we're going to look at today is the difference between truth and lies. How hard is it when you tell a lie? Isn't it so hard to try to keep up with that lie? You know, God intends for it to be difficult for us to keep up with lies because they're not truth. The truth is, if I ask you what your name is, what your birthday is, where you were born, if I ask you some questions relevant to you and to your life, those things that are concrete and that are set and that you know, you're going to rattle those things off. Why? Because they're truth. Truth is easy to get a hold of. It's easy to retrieve. And we don't have to make up stories to convince ourselves of what truth really is. Lies, on the other hand, what typically happens to us when we tell a lie? Well, we end up telling another lie to cover up that lie, don't we? We end up going through the spectrum of, well, I need to say something else because this is untrue, and to make that sound good, I've got to bring another lie into it, another lie into it. And we know we're not supposed to tell lies, right? We know that's wrong. We know it's wrong for us to tell lies. We learned that as children. Now, don't you be telling a lie. You tell the truth. And I know this message may even seem very elementary to you and I, but apparently we didn't get it because we're still telling lies. And we're still living in, and listen, we're believing lies. Society wants you to think that it's telling you truth. Society lies to you. And hopefully by the time we get to the end of this chapter, we're going to have a little bit better understanding about what really is truth and how important it is that we base our lives on the truth of God. Proverbs 8, back in 1 through 3, doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth at the top of the high places by the way of the places of the paths. She cries out at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Luke chapter 12, verse 2 and 3 says this, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. When you look down in verse number 7, it has the word truth. Here's the meaning of what truth means. It can be stability, it can be certainty, and it can also be sure. So that's simply a declaration of truth is what that is. A declaration of how important truth is and what truth is and how we need not be afraid to stand on or to speak or to declare truth. You and I should not be afraid of what we know to be true. There are a lot of things you know to be true and you're not a bit afraid to stand on them. If you ask me what my birthday is, you ask me what my name is, I'm not a bit afraid to share with you those things because I know them to be true. The problem that comes in when we're fearful about declaring truth is when that truth has become challenged by lies. That's where the problem sets in. What's your name? My name's David Kevin Ayers. No, it's not. Well, yeah, it is. Some things I'm pretty adamant about that I'm going to stand on truth because I know it to be true. Some things that I sort of believe to be true that if I'm a little shaky on it, you can challenge me on that. In other words, if I'm not grounded and founded on the word of truth, then I'm going to be easily shaken by things that are false. It's important that we understand truth. It's important that we pour truth into our kids. Society today is trying to suck our kids away into lies. They're not truth. They're not based on anything remotely true. They're based on feelings, on emotions, on just a passing thought. They want you to develop a belief system into things that are just a thought and an idea and an emotion. Oh my goodness, it scares me to death to think that we're living in a society now that is driven by emotions. If we're all controlled by how we feel, it is a sad day for America. Most people are that way though. How I feel today determines how I'm going to react and respond to the world. It's going to affect how I think and my behavior. All those things work hand in hand. So if I'm feeling a certain way today, then I'm going to respond that way to the rest of the world. We're not going back and checking ourselves up and basing how we are on what is truth. It's important we go back and stand on truth. And we don't need to be afraid of standing on truth. Listen, the truth is not always an easy thing. It's not always to say it. It's definitely difficult at times to live it, but truth is always right. Jesus, well, what did Pilate ask Jesus? He said, what is truth? And Jesus kept his silence because Jesus had basically already declared he is truth. Jesus is truth, and that's what he was saying. We can stand on the word of God, we can believe the word of God, and we can declare the word of God and truth. It doesn't matter if 99.999% of the world agrees with a thought or an idea or deems a law to be in effect because they feel that way. If it opposes the Word of God, it is a lie. It is not truth. Amen. Because the majority likes it doesn't make a statement or a thought or an idea true. What makes a statement or an idea true is the fact that God has declared it or inspired that thought. That's what truth comes from. When people in the Bible had opportunities to speak on behalf of the Lord, as the Spirit moved them, young Samuel went to Eli and he spoke to him truth. That must have been a hard thing for him to do because he was a young man. And Eli was older and he was his senior and he had respect for him. Obviously he respected him. But God spoke to young Samuel. He said, Samuel, you got to go speak to Eli and tell him because he has not raised his sons the way I demanded he and commanded he raise his sons. Then you go tell him this judgment is going to fall on his house. You go tell him that. And I'm thinking, wow, here is young Samuel. Somebody's young and it's like, you're telling me to go tell. It's like somebody in the congregation, a young person, one of our youth, God is inspiring you today to say and speaking to you through the Holy Spirit. You go to Preacher David after church today and you tell him this is something wrong in his life and he needs to get that corrected. How comfortable are you going to be to do that? It could be anybody that you are, anybody that you have respect for or you admire, you believe to be someone of truth. He believed Eli to be a man of God, which he was a priest, but he had let some things slip in his life, and that was time for God to speak to him. It's not easy to follow truth at times, is it? But we're commanded to because it is the right thing to do, and it's the only path of blessing in our life when we respond to that truth and we act upon that truth in the fashion that God gives us to respond. We're going to jump all the way down to verse number 6 through verse number 8 at wisdom being bound to truth. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. So wisdom is saying, I am always going to speak truth. I'm never going to speak a lie to you. I'm never going to lead you astray. Anything that is false or a lie is an abomination to me. I will never share with you anything that is not coming from the heart of God. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward, and we know froward means perverted, nothing froward or perverse in them. And I've added Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, interesting passage of scripture that says this, by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Wisdom is saying to the Son that I am truth, I believe in truth, and I always share truth. I will never lead you astray. I'm always going to share with you what truth is and how God has always spoken truth and God will always continue to speak truth. God is not mostly right. God is always right, and we need to remember that. Anybody that considers himself to be a prophet of God, if they're truly a prophet of God, you know what? They're going to be 100% right. Not going to be wrong about anything. Any prophecy that God gives man and he declares it to the world, if one out of 100, that's still a pretty good percentage, but if you're not 100 out of 100, you're not speaking from the mouth of God. Jesus spoke truth. God to those Old Testament saints as he declared his word and as God spoke audibly to Moses, the different ones throughout history, and Abraham, he spoke truth to them, and God has always been right. He's not partly right or mostly right, but God is always right. Verse of scripture in Isaiah, I think this is really interesting about how God is not only truth and right, but he is very prophetic in the things that he says. Isaiah 44 and verse 28 says this, that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and for the temple and to the temple thy foundation shalt be laid. Okay, this is Isaiah declaring a prophecy concerning a king named Cyrus that is going to build the temple and restore the house of Israel. Guess what? Israel and the temple is in fine shape when this prophecy is being shared. And he even labeled a guy's name. He called him by name Cyrus. Let's fast forward 150 years later, and we see the fulfillment of this prophecy. After Israel being taken captive for 70 years, then God put it on the heart of King Cyrus of Persia that he took over the Babylonians, and he was convicted of God to free his people, let them come back home, let them rebuild the temple, rebuild the altar, and restore the city. The walls were strengthened again. Not only did God, you know something, he showed off right here. He didn't have to say King Cyrus. He didn't have to say that the man named Cyrus was going to be pivotal in rebuilding the city. All he had to do was say, it's going to be destroyed, and I'm going to rebuild it later. I'm bringing you back home. But no, God went ahead and said, King Cyrus is going to be the one I'm going to work through to do this. 150 years later, literally King Cyrus is the one that freed God's people, let him come and rebuild the city. I am amazed by such prophecy. I'm not amazed at the fact that God already knows it, because he's not only living in the present and in the past, but God's also living in the future, and he knows everything that's going to happen. But to see these things written out in God's word, and 150 years later to see that come to be, it just confirms to me the fact that, yes, God is truth, and I can believe in him, and I can bank on it, because everything God has ever said or demanded or commanded is coming true exactly the way God said it's going to. He told them how to win Jericho, didn't he? You march around it, it's going to fall. They marched around it, and it fell. He tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We can have confidence in salvation because we believe truth. We also believe that one day Jesus is coming back, isn't he, to get his bride. We were studying Thessalonians, going through the book of Thessalonians on Wednesday night. So we were starting to wrap up. We're chapter number 4, 13 through 18, about the beautiful portrait of the rapture, the gathering up of the church. What a beautiful scene. I'm encouraged by that. I love that as it finishes that passage, it says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. It wants us to comfort each other with truth, and the prophetic word of knowing Christ is coming back, and he's coming back to get us. And listen, if you're here today and you're saved, you belong to Jesus, you're going to be there one way or the other. You're either going to be going up to meet him, or if you pass in death before he comes back, you're going to be coming back with him. But we're all going to be there. The bride of Christ is going to be there and be a part of that beautiful reunion in the clouds. And we're always going to be with the Lord. I love truth because I can believe in it. I can count on it. And God is always right and he's never wrong. So when he declares something, hold on to that because it's truth. If you think about it, you know what we're actually doing, those of us that are saved? We're banking our soul on the truth of God. Amen. Most valuable thing that you possess is not your home, your car, your business. Most valuable thing you possess is your soul, who you really are, your spirit, who you are, who God created you to be. The rest of this is the housing, and the stuff is just stuff. The most valuable commodity you have is your spirit, your soul, who you actually are. And you're banking that on the fact that God's word is true. I'm banking my soul on the fact that Jesus saved my soul when I called on him, and he died on that cross to pay for my sin debt. And I'm willing to do that. So if I'm willing to bank the most precious thing I have, my literal being and my eternal existence, then how can I not trust him in every other area of life? How can I not believe him to be the one to guide me in the decisions I got to make? Where I'm going to work, where my kids are going to school, what we're going to do, where we're going to live. Goodness, if I can give my soul to him, I can sure enough believe he can take care of the daily decisions I have to be made in my life. Believe in the truth of God and trust him because he is right. Third, we can all receive wisdom and truth. I like this. Verse number 5 out of Proverbs 8. Oh, ye simple. I want to break down these words as we go. He says, oh, you simple. Simple here means silly. Anybody ever said, you silly? I tell Harper a lot of times, you being silly. So, oh, you silly, or you simple. Understand wisdom. Then he says, and you fools. You're going to like this. Fools in this passage means fat and stupid. Hey, I'm not making this up. I'm not making this stuff up. I read it several times to make sure that's an interpretation of what this means. Hey, I'm not looking at anybody. I'm not directly picking anybody. I got to look back here. You know what? He said, oh, you fools, or you fat and stupid. Be ye of an understanding heart. And I'm going to add verse number 9 as we scoot down a little bit. He said, because they are plain. In other words, they're straight, they're correct. So he said, they are plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that findeth knowledge. You know, when I read about fools, you know what I took from that? Hey, I can get wisdom. It's possible. It's possible for me to get wisdom. It's possible for all of us to get wisdom. You can get wisdom. Nobody is exempt from understanding truth and wisdom from God. I love it. I love it that God's saying, listen, I'm going to say the worst of the worst. I'm telling you, the silly people, the challenged people, the stupid people in life that just don't want to get a hold of truth, I can still save them and I can still restore truth to them. Whoever you are and whatever's going on in your life, truth is available to you and wisdom is available to you. I think it's humorous, but at the same time, he's making a point. Anybody can be saved. Nobody has gone too far, too extreme, that the blood of Christ is not enough to save you and cleanse you of your sins. I'm not too far out to where God is not able to restore me and to forgive me. I'm not so deep in the hole that there's no way that I can be brought out of that hole. He is able, and I think that's the beauty of truth, is I can, regardless of my position in life or where I'm at or how bad I've been or how good I've been, all I got to do is look to him, and truth is there, and it's available for me. Look at the variety of people, the diverse group that got saved through the New Testament. There are all kinds of people, all walks of life, all dialects, all colors of skin, from previous belief systems and paganism and all kinds of things. People that were possessed with demons, devils. You cast those devils out and save those precious souls. That's telling me everybody. Everybody has an opportunity and a chance to embrace truth and wisdom and understanding from God. Now let's jump to verse 15 and 16 at what truth produces. It produces opportunity is what it does. Verse 15, by me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. So he's saying if we are embracing truth and we're doing our best to follow the wisdom and truth of God, you know what that's going to open up for us? Opportunities to serve him. It's going to have greater, we're going to have greater opportunities to make a difference for the kingdom of God the more we trust God. Some people will question and say, well, how come God's not letting me get in on some of the big stuff? You know, whatever you consider the big stuff to be with God. How come I'm not seeing opportunities other people are seeing? How come I'm not leading somebody to the Lord? How come I'm not seeing myself being a part of these effective ministries? Why am I not seeing these opportunities? Well, it could be a lot of things that come into play as to why you're not there. But the very first thing I need to consider in my life is, what am I not doing that I need to start doing in order for me to see those kind of opportunities from God? I mean, God is not going to let us be a part of something we consider to be great or big unless we're faithful to those little things that God's telling us to do every day. God watches us, he observes us, and he wants to see faithfulness in us. So if we're faithful, you know, David, it was said of him, he had a heart after God, a man after God's own heart. That's the guy that he wants to have king over Israel. That's who God set aside. Young Mary, who was gentle and had such a precious and a sweet spirit about her. The angel came to Gabriel and said, "You're highly favored among women, and because of that, God is setting you aside. He's going to let you be the mother of the Messiah, of the Christ." It's not that she was any better than anybody else, but because she was one of those faithful people that loved God and honored God and was willing to submit to the leadership of God, opportunity came to her to make a difference. Wow, could you imagine? God will open up more opportunities for you and I as we continue to declare our faithfulness to Him. What do you say? You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. I mean, that's coming from the Word of God, isn't it? If He sees us to be faithful in a few things, He's going to give us greater opportunities to be faithful in the future. So basically what He's asking us to do is today, in this moment, the opportunity you have before you right now, be faithful to God in it and stand on truth today for what God's telling you to do. Don't worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow take care of itself. Evil for tomorrow is sufficient thereof, the Bible says. So not only is the evil sufficient, but Scotty, the grace is sufficient for tomorrow too. He's saying, you just hang on to me today and all that I've told you to do. So then we think about all these things of how important truth is, how wisdom is bound to truth, how God is always truthful and He's not going to lie, and He's always going to project those things that are honorable and are right and beneficial for our life. Then we get to thinking about wisdom again, and a beautiful description of the pedigree of wisdom is seen in the following verses, beginning in verse number 22. It says, "The Lord possessed me." This is wisdom talking, Lady Wisdom. "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with waters, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest parts of the dust of the world. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth, while He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He gave the sea His decree that the waters should not pass His commandment, when He appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by Him as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him." How beautiful is that? Isn't that cool? Wisdom is basically saying, me and the Father are one. God is wisdom, and wisdom is God. We are joined. We have always existed together. And if we think about it, that is truth. That is reality. That God Himself is wisdom. That outside of Him there is no wisdom. There's no truth. There's no understanding. Who is Satan? He is the father of all lies. So we know that God must be the father of all truth. So truth is wisdom. So wisdom is letting us see that, hey, I've been around a long time. The truth of God, the wisdom of God, has been around forever, way before our creation. So if we want to challenge and look at the quality of something we want to put our faith and trust in, we know that we can put our faith and trust in God because He is always right. He is always truth. He has never lied, nor will He ever lie. You know, when you're starting to buy something, you'll examine it, you know, especially if you're going to spend a lot of money on something. You'll examine it to make sure who made it, the quality of it. Is it a cheap version? Is it a better version, a quality version? And we'll compare these kind of things before we actually spend money on it. Problem with us is we're more concerned about spending $20 on something and the quality of the product we're buying than we are establishing ourselves on the truth of God. Whatever we buy is going to fade away eventually. But the decision is where we base our foundation on is an eternal decision. We need to be careful of that. Just as God spoke audibly and He used His wisdom to speak to His people in the Old Testament, Jesus came. Jesus was that that physical presence of God. He is God made flesh, and he spoke to man. They heard his voice. They interacted with him. He led many people to a saving knowledge of who he was. He healed so many people. There's not enough books to write about all of his healing. It's amazing what Jesus did. But then Jesus ascended. And you know how God speaks his wisdom to us today in his truth? Amen. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Don't worry, Danielle. It's all good. I'm not going to call you out. Hey, some things are just timed perfectly. And I got to tell you, that was pretty perfect right there. Sometimes I want to do that when the Spirit hits me, too. And you know, when the Spirit speaks, that's what he's doing. He is relating the same wisdom and truth that God has always shared. So the pedigree of wisdom is pretty good. She comes from a good stock. She comes from good family, and she comes from the heart and mind of God himself. That's where wisdom comes from. I want to finish up with this invitation as we find the last few verses in Proverbs chapter 8. 32 begins, says, "Now, therefore," after you've heard this message today, you've been convicted of truth and what truth really is and the importance of wisdom. "Now, therefore, hearken unto me," wisdom is saying, "O you children, be blessed are they that, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and whoso obtaineth favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me loveth death." The invitation is given. You got to choose if you want to surrender to truth and wisdom today. Stand with me as we pray. Father, as we come to you this morning, we have been challenged by your word. Truth has been declared to us. We know the pedigree of wisdom. We know that you are true. There's no lie within you, within your heart, God. And we know that you desire to speak truth to us today. It becomes, again, the ultimate choice on our part. Do we believe truth? Are we willing to stake our soul on truth? Are we willing to live within your truths? Though challenging as it might be in today's society, I pray, God, for you to speak to us. Give us courage today to not be afraid of truth, but to stand on it. Help us to not be afraid to stand against the world, even if we have to stand alone at times, God, but to stand on your truth. I pray that you convict hearts and souls today and bring us to an altar, that we'll get where we need to be with you. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.